Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you ever want to email directly to the show, very, very easy. Jane says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane says at civicmedia.us. Busy show coming up today. It is
Election Day.
And what are we going to do?
Be cool and be a voter.
That's right. Be a voter, baby. Be a voter. Polls are open until 8 o'clock tonight. Two very important constitutional amendments on the ballot. We will be talking about those in just a little bit. Very excited.
Yeah.
We have a new segment coming up at 10:33 called Calvin Calls It. Well done, sweet Calby. Calvin Calls It coming up at 10:33 along with our friend and colleague, Fancy Brian Kelly.
It's just a good day.
I know. I am very excited about this. In the 11 o'clock hour.
Okay. A
little bit different, but yeah. This is something that has been growing across the country, and it's something that I actually looked into.
It's been growing.
It's been growing, spreading, as it were. Green burials.
Yeah.
And this is a trend that is gaining in popularity, and more people are opting for a green burial. So we're going to talk to Shed Farley. He's the Farley Center Director at the National Path Sanctuary, where they do green burials, and that's coming up at 11:06, so I hope you can stick around for that. As we mentioned, today is Election Day, primary election day in Wisconsin. No matter where you live.
Yes.
No matter where you live, and there might not be anything on your ballot. I looked at mine this morning, myvote.wi.gov.
Heck yeah.
Myvote.wi.gov. Looked on my ballot, and there are a bunch of uncontested races.
That's what mine was, too.
For some of these spots. But yeah. You might not even have any of those on your ballot. Mm-hmm. But these two constitutional amendments will be on the ballot.
Absolutely. And we have talked about it extensively, so it will come to no surprise that we believe that it's in your best interest, our best interest as Wisconsinites, to vote no on those two constitutional questions on the amendments. Because they do not benefit us as a people. They simply just give more power to one small group of people within the legislature, and that is the Joint Finance Committee.
Pretty much.
And what did you say earlier that this, the rule for, you know, the money, it's being distributed by the governor, has been around since
the 1930s. Jim from Appleton sent us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us. In 1929, the U.S. suffered from a stock market crash that helped lead us into the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. In response to this, the federal government started sending aid money to the states. At that time, all spending had to go through the legislature. But by the 1930s, our state representatives realized that giving federal relief money through the legislature was time-consuming and ineffective.
Oh, really?
In getting the aid where it was needed. So they passed a law allowing the governor to distribute money to those places of greatest need. The system has been working for 90 plus years.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim from Appleton.
Thank you very much. And if you have any questions on it, I'm going to read a tweet that someone tweeted out. Kid Riles tweeted this out. He said, "Dear Wisconsin, regarding tomorrow or today's constitutional amendment questions, think of it this way. Do you want Robin Voss, who represents one of 99 districts, and has an approval rating of 16%, to be in charge of all federal dollars we receive? That is why we think you should vote no and no on those constitutional questions."
Speaking of.
Yeah.
The Popcorn King.
Oh, we have do we have a new theme song?
I believe we do have a new theme song for old 16% popularity Robin Voss. Calvin, let's play that real quickly.
To be popular, I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with our right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, because you've got an awfully long way to go.
But we'll get you there, baby.
We will.
We will get you.
I will get you to 18%, baby.
We want you to be popular.
We do.
Robin. And Robin really wants us to vote yes on these two constitutional amendments. which I think is important to consider.
Yes, I agree. It's very important to consider. There was a, I don't know if it was a an email or a meme or something someone shared. In fact, I think it was Sage, our the great Sage Weil.
Yes.
Shared a misleading graphic, posting it as Scott Walker. Do you want to give Scott Walker this power? Vote yes, then. Kind of like, you know, and I don't understand where it came from. I was like, I have a lot of questions. First of all, anyone in Wisconsin still thinks Scott Walker's the governor?
Could be.
Yeah. So there, to me, that speaks volumes. When they're speaking dishonestly in their mailers in such a way, in such a huge way, then you get a question why they want you to say yes.
Absolutely.
Then you get a question why they want you to do anything. When we're just sitting here saying, look, we want the government to have the power because they get the money, and it showed during COVID that the money got distributed. And since the fact that the Joint Finance Committee is sitting on money for education, hospitals, clean drinking water, that has been bipartisan approved.
Yes. It's all been approved. It's all been okayed.
So why do you want to vote yes and let them sit on it longer? So defend that for me. And don't call it slush fund. It's not a slush fund.
No, it's not a slush fund. I he actually has to be accountable for where the money goes. It's not like disappears into the ether somewhere. And it's like, what happened to that $1 billion? I'm sorry, that was Jamie Dimon who misplaced $1 billion a few years ago. Whoopsie.
I bought dilly bars for all of Madison.
Democratic Representative Francesca Hong says this is a Republican power grab, plain and simple. They aim to strip the power from the governor and will cause all federal funding to Wisconsin to be caught up in legislative gridlock. And I think it was Dan Schaefer who said, if you're pro-gridlock, vote yes.
Yeah.
This is a pro-gridlock vote.
Yeah. And we had Sachin Chetta on yesterday talking about the educational funds that are sitting there waiting to be released.
Weeks away from school opening.
Weeks away from school. Once again, this was something that everyone agreed on, voted on, said, let's do it. And then the Joint Finance Committee said, nah, it's fine.
And it's not even over anything within the package itself.
No.
It's a procedural
thing. Exactly.
It's this arcane, really teeny tiny procedural problem.
Yeah.
But that's their claim to fame, is finding reasons not to do anything.
Exactly. Any small reason they can find, they're going to exploit it. And they are and essentially holding this state hostage.
Yeah.
Which is reprehensible to me. Hospitals, clean drinking water, money for education for our children. And they're just going to sit on it. Okay. We say vote no. I'm happy to talk to you more about it.
Absolutely. But, and if you would like to chime in on this, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Think back to COVID, when we were in the midst of the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we got a bunch of emergency funds from the federal government, which went to Tony Evers, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because our Republican-controlled legislature gaveled in and gaveled out. And then we never saw him again for 6 months. So if they had been responsible for sending those dollars like Governor Evers did to small businesses to keep them afloat, because they really faced a lot of challenges, to hospitals and other communities that needed PPE equipment as we were, again, in the midst of a global pandemic. And what did our Republican-led legislature do? They gaveled in and they gaveled out and they went home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the one time that Robin Voss cosplayed as a minion or something. Remember when he dressed up in all that PPE?
Yeah, that's right. God.
I decided to call him. That was his minion costume. He was doing a little cosplay.
I don't know. I think that it's so just disingenuous to try to paint it as the governor doesn't need more power. You know, like it sucks, honestly. You know, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but it sucks because they don't need it. They don't need this power. The governor needs to distribute this money now. We need this money.
If they could provide examples of where he misused this funding,
mm-hmm.
I would say that they might have a legitimate reason for it, but I haven't seen anything like that.
Well, also, if it was consistent, but like do an investigation, tell us of something, some way that the COVID money was mishandled or
right.
something. If you can't do that, there's no reason to do this. This is exactly, and I allow me to tangent for 5 seconds. This for me is like voter ID. This was never a problem until they said it was a problem. And then they forced us to take our IDs to voting. You forced a solution on us that was never a problem in the first place. And now you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And our kids, our water, our hospitals, and many other things are at stake because we need this money distributed.
Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I voted early this morning.
Good for you.
Very smoothly. And one thing, I think I'm an informed voter, but one thing I missed was that this time around, when I showed them my ID, I did not have to sign my name in a little book upside down.
Interesting.
On paper.
Yeah.
Which was a Republican invention to slow down voting, I think. Anyway, buried on the bottom of the second page of our ballot, which had a lot of local and state races, were the referenda. And I planned to vote already no on the referenda, but the Republicans obviously did as much as they could to hide this from people
yes.
who weren't plugged in.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. Where does the Division of Emergency Government, as a government agency, I think it's under DOA, Department of Administration. Who do you think is in charge of those departments? Is it the legislature? No, it's the governor. When there's an emergency, a tornado, or any kind of thing like that, emergency government steps in, and they don't know how much they're going to have to spend. They usually rely on federal emergency management grants for really big problems.
Ron, can you hang on for 1 second? Because we're running out of time. We will come right back with you. It's a very, very short commercial interlude. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is primary election day. Be a voter, baby. Everybody who's anybody likes to go vote, please go out and vote. It's very, very important you be involved in the process. If you are not certain, if you are registered, go to myvote.wi.gov. Mm-hmm. And if you're not registered, you can register today.
Yes, just make sure you take with you an ID. And I do believe you need one piece of mail. Which someone clarified this morning on Pat's show, you can bring in a electronic piece of mail. So like I get my water bill sent to my email. I don't get it at home. And it has my name and my address on there. So you can use that as well. But
okay.
Just go to myvote.wi.gov. They'll give you all the details you need to register. Make sure you find out first, because if you think you are and you're not, it might increase your wait time even on a primary day like today.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the two constitutional amendments that are on the ballot. We are suggesting you vote no. Robin Voss, on the other hand, wants you to vote yes. That should tell you something. Ron from Milwaukee, we had to cut you off. Sorry about that, Ron. Thank you for waiting. I'll let you finish up.
Yeah, I think I was in the middle of saying all of the state government agencies and functions that deal with emergencies, the state patrol, the Division of Emergency Government, even economic emergencies like a sudden crash in the stock market, as you pointed out earlier, are managed rightfully so by the governor because he's the executive and he can act quickly. The whole point of these bills is that A, the Republican, modern Republican Party has this crazy idea, and it's all over the country, and it was created by, you know, Republican think tanks, that legislatures have final authority in everything that's done in a state. And, you know, whether it's a bill to ban kissing or, you know, whatever.
No more laughing, Ron. Nope. We're going to outlaw laughing. Anyway, go ahead.
Arrest me now. Anyway. But then the other part of it is they will deny the governor any opportunity to act, but only if it's not their governor, because they want to make the governor look bad by not being proactive and getting things done. And they're doing that right now with Tim Walz in the vice presidential campaign.
But you're right. I can just imagine it, Ron. And thank you so very much for calling, Ron. Thank you for listening. I can just imagine how they would blame Evers.
Yeah.
If the COVID money hadn't gotten to people. If it would be, then it would be like, oh, he does nothing. He accomplishes nothing. Look at that. But that's not what happened.
No.
And again, we've talked about how when their policies aren't popular and they can't get them done legislatively, then they do something like this.
And they've done it twice now. This is the Fourth Amendment we are voting on, the second time. There was two earlier this year in the spring election.
That's right. That's right.
And now there's two more. And that those earlier spring elections, those went through, and that's not going to be good for our election processes, because they use sucker bucks and blah, blah, blah. But really, we just want, like, this is going to make those two amendments are going to make elections harder and more time consuming, especially in Madison, Milwaukee, and the bigger areas.
And also in smaller communities. Yeah. They use that money too.
Yeah. It's going to make those elections harder, and voting yes on this will ensure that money will just get sat on by the Joint Finance Committee.
Unless it includes tax cuts for, you know, their wealthy donors. Then they're happy to distribute money. That's never a problem.
Why never tax cuts for us? That's just so weird. They're the party of the people.
Mike from Kenosha, thank you for your patience, Mike. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I appreciate it. The, time is of the essence when you're talking about emergency funds. That's why, the way we've been doing it over the recent history is to make it as clear and clean path to get the execution part of this thing done as quickly as possible. So to create bottlenecks just makes no sense. But the reason why I called, I think it was in 1 year, the COVID year, Robin Voss in 1 year gaveled in, gaveled out 11 tons.
That sounds about right. Yeah, it's just shocking, isn't it, Mike?
And really, really quick, Mike, thank you for bringing that up as well. For those who don't know what gavel in, gavel out means, that means they walk into the room, they gavel in, say we're in session, then immediately throw the gavel down, say we're adjourned. So nothing can get done, and gridlock can continue, and they can continue to get their way. That's what that means.
And they can continue to get paid.
Exactly.
They continue to get paid. They continue with their 5 month, 6 month, 8 month vacation.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing else gets done. Thank you so very much, Mike. Really appreciate it. A couple of really good texts from Eric in Wauwatosa. When I canvass folks, I ask them, what if a disaster happened tonight? The governor is Madison. Where is the legislature right now? They're on vacation.
And if someone said, well, what about COVID? I'll say, I'll glad you brought that up. When COVID happened,
that you couldn't find them anywhere.
They didn't come back to Madison either. So
no. And Eric also says they're not looking for legitimate reasons. They're just taking advantage of a low turnout election and the right wing media empire getting enough of their voters out to vote yes. Eric from Tosa says, vote no, Wisconsin.
Vote no, Wisconsin. And Mike from Green Bay says, hi, guys. Proud dad moment. My 18-year-old registered and voted today. Voted blue.
Yay.
And no on both. Shout out to my family. My friend, Billy Kay, who is painting his house, listening to WGBW. Mike in Green Bay, thank you for my protection.
That's awesome, Mike. Thank you so very much. Yeah. You have until 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
I know it's not sexy. I know it's a really nice day out. Call some friends.
Yeah.
Go to the polls together.
Yes. And then?
Go to lunch.
Go to lunch.
You can go to a lake. You can go to a park.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a walk.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself a little bit. Maybe get the girls go together for a mani-pedi.
Yeah. Or guys,
After you vote. That's the treat. After you vote.
And guys, if you want to look good with a mani-pedi, you do it too.
Yeah,
get your boys together. Get them toenails in order. On the live stream, we were reminded by Tony on the live stream.
Yes.
that he said, sorry, it's cool now that I have my little light in front of everything. He said, fun fact, the Sech and Cheta episode interview is on the Civic Media YouTube page right now because it's a great interview. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tony. We really had a great discussion with him.
Yeah.
And he addressed, too, if you're still not sure how you want to vote on these constitutional amendments, I would suggest you listen to that segment.
Yes.
Yesterday with Sech and Cheta, who is with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And again, talking about how we are still sitting on this money for reading programs that have been instituted.
Yes.
And now we're not giving them the money to institute these programs in school is just a couple of weeks away. We don't have a lot of time. Yeah. I really do, just because I'm a bad, petty person. Can we play Robin Voss's new theme song here on Matt Nair on Air, Calvin? Mr. 16% popularity. Take a listen, Robin. Hang in there.
To be popular, I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with our right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, because you've got an awfully long way to go.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there, Robin.
17%. 17%.
We have goals for you. We have goals for you.
That's wonderful. I love it.
News is coming up next when we return. A new segment called Calvin Calls It. And fancy Brian Kelly will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is primary day in Wisconsin. You have until 8 o'clock tonight to go cast your very important ballot. No joke. Go cast your vote. Be a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be cool.
Be cool. Be a young kid. Be a fellow kid.
Okay, all right.
And go vote. And vote no on the two constitutional amendments. It's just my opinion. New segment we're premiering today.
Talking
words are hard.
Is hard.
Words are hard. We're premiering a new segment called Calvin Calls It, and we are joined by our friend and colleague, Fancy Brian Kelly, is live with us. In the studio. So good to have you here, Brian. How are you?
I am fantastic. I have a sticker myself.
Did you? Oh, so you voted already?
I have voted already.
Do you know what number you were?
No. There were several cars in the parking lot, and I wanted to make sure I got here on time. And they also changed the way that they do things, where they used to have the big giant book.
Yeah.
It's now a computer.
We just had someone call and mention that he didn't have to sign, right?
I did have to sign.
You did have to sign.
You have to e-sign. It's almost like the tip thing. They flip over and go, hey, give me a tip.
Yeah.
You e-sign yourself.
Interesting.
I had to sign paper, which is fine by me.
Maybe it's just precinct by precinct.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you from voting in Oak Creek for a while, Catherine Reske runs that thing really, really well. During COVID, there was no issues whatsoever, not even a little bit. And we usually have a pretty good voter turnout. So if they decide that it's time to upgrade something, and I'm trusting that they're going to work. And there's a lot of poll workers there. Every time I go, I always say thank you so much to every single one of them.
I do too.
Absolutely. I look at them. I'm like, thank you. Especially yes. The older folks, because they don't have to be there. And there's shenanigans happening at those polling places. And I want them
Can
to know
be.
That.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it is nice to see some newer faces.
Yes.
You know, because it has been a lot of the same people for decades and decades and decades, and God bless them for that. Mm-hmm. But they're always looking for poll workers.
I know. I think
always.
I I probably not this year because I'll probably be here working for this, but I would like to be a poll worker one day. That'd be fun.
I would too.
Yeah.
Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Well, I'm on my way to vote here shortly, and I do not have any Democrat primary people to vote for. So I'm going to hold my nose, and as a staunch Democrat, I'm going to cross over to the dark side and vote for one of the three, Tony Weed, Roger Roth, or Andre Jacques, that's on the primary for the Republicans.
For the eighth congressional district, and that was Mike Gallagher's old seat.
Yep.
Am I speaking out of line by saying that Andre Jacques is somehow the most reliable person there?
What?
Well, that's my feeling. That's who I'm voting for.
This is the primary, the Republican primary.
Yeah, aren't they also voting for the person who will hold the seat from November until January today? That's what was said this morning on Pat Show. Because whoever
wins of these three will go up against Kristen Lierley.
But if I'm not mistaken, the governor made it so that there would be voting on a person to fill the role from November until January. Let me check that out.
We'll have to double check on that.
I'm just saying, when Andre Jacques, who had COVID, nearly died and then said, I didn't learn anything from it, is the most reasonable choice you have between the three of those, you guys got a problem, man.
And apparently I shouldn't say that. I haven't seen much that says that he's the front runner right now. It can go anyway. Well, good for you, Cindy. Good for voting. Vote no on the two constitutional amendments.
However you want to go and play your primary your primary ticket, definitely vote no.
Yeah, definitely vote no. That is for sure.
That is my suggestion.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm on Ballotpedia right now. It says a special election to fill the seat representing the Wisconsin Congressional 8th will be held in 2024. Primaries will be held on the 13th. The general election on the November the 5th. And then the special election will fill the vacancy left by Mike Gallagher, who cited death threats and swatting incidents. So I think, yeah, what they were talking about this morning is that they are voting on someone to fill the role for a couple months, and then whoever wins in November
will take over in
January, which makes little to no sense to me. It's like either leave it vacant or just fill it right now, but it seems like it's a little more convoluted on the ballot in Green Bay right now, or in that district.
Right, right. Well, whatever you do, myvote.wi.gov, if you have any questions, if you are registered, if you want to see what your ballot looks like before you get to the polls, you can do that, myvote.wi.gov. All right, we have to get to our new segment called Calvin Calls It. Way to go, Calvin Butenhoff. What was your prediction yesterday on the air when we were talking about Elon's big chat with the former president on the platform that used to be Twitter? What did you predict, Calvin?
Well, I predicted that from a technical aspect, it was going to be a disaster.
And so it was. And so
you did it.
And so it was.
Congratulations, Calvin. You earned it.
It started
really good.
40 minutes late.
Yes.
And Twitter, like Trump supporters and Elon fans were freaking out. I read one that said, I planned my whole day around this. Like, really?
There were a lot of Karens that were ready to listen.
Really? Do you want to talk to a manager? That's Elon Musk, if you want, I guess.
He fired all the other managers, so
well,
we got pretty much him.
There's that. What I loved was he's claiming that they were hacked.
Yeah.
This was some kind of hack.
Yeah.
No, this was another unscheduled disassembly.
Oh.
Your rocket went boom.
Oh, it was a hack. Just of a different kind. He's a hack. That's pretty much it.
There were a number of things discussed.
Oh. They were talking?
Yeah. They were definitely, words were happening.
Words were happening.
Really quick. Alicia Saunders clarified me. No, no, no. The special will be determined November 5th. It is only the primary for special and general today in the 8th district. So it is only the primary today. I misheard this morning.
Okay.
So
today is only the primary.
Correct.
This will not be the person who's going to fill that seat.
Correct. Correct. So
hopefully, well, not either way.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much for that clarification. We try to be right.
Yes.
We try to be accurate.
Yeah. Talking.
So many words, and it's hard to decide where to start. Let's start with Donald Trump praising Elon Musk.
Oh, yes.
For firing a whole bunch of workers who wanted things to be better. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
I mean, I think it would be great to just have a government efficiency commission that takes a look at these things and just ensures that the taxpayer money, the taxpayers' hard-earned money is spent in a good way. I'd be happy to help out on such a commission.
I'd love it.
If it were formed.
Mm. Well, you're the greatest cutter. I mean, I look at what you do. You walk in and you just say, you want to quit? They go on strike. I won't mention the name of the company, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay. You're all gone. So every one of you is gone and you are the greatest. You would be very good. Oh, you would love it.
He would love it.
Hey, folks, do you like unions? Well, guess who doesn't? Those two idiots. Also, I can't stand Elon's voice.
Yeah, he's got a really just arrogant sound to him, mostly because we've been conditioned to hear that sound and go, villain. Yeah. That's the he has a classic villain sound to him. But again, what are the results of what happened after he fired everybody? Oh, wait, the whole thing doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
What are the results? Let's see. If only there was an example of what would happen if you went and attacked public employees and, you know, there was results that maybe turned out to be a massive teacher exodus and people dying in your jails because they're understaffed and underpaid. Oh, wait, that's Wisconsin.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happens when you go and attack employees, federal, state employees, and you don't know what you're doing? You just want to cut things because, ha, 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 I'm in charge.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I really dislike even the timbre of his voice, because he's been labeled with this notion of being a genius for so long now that whenever he's asked a question, he has to speak in terms of greatness instead of being like, I'll look into that, or I don't know. His first thing is always has to be the greatest answer ever, but he's always searching for it. If you listen to his voice, because
he doesn't have the answers.
Because he's not a genius. He hasn't done anything other than take dad's money and buy companies. A lot of people have done that. That doesn't make him tech geniuses. He's not a tech genius. He didn't invent the electric car or Twitter.
He's bought authority.
Yes.
He has bought
And legitimacy.
And he's bought himself insulation from consequences.
Well, this was quick. The United Auto Workers Union now has filed complaints against Trump and Musk.
Huh.
Alleging the two advocated for firing striking workers.
Yeah.
After hearing that part of the conversation last night.
Oh, yeah. The conversations you have somehow have consequences with what you're doing?
The unfair labor practices charges filed with the National Labor Relations Board, the UAW said today, just hours after hearing the discussion. When we say Donald Trump is a scab, this is what we mean. When we say Trump stands against everything our union stands for, this is what we mean, said UAW President Sean Fain in a news release. Unions are gaining in popularity.
Absolutely. And people were really upset when
Sean Fain, yep.
When he went to the RNC. And really after that, they're like, oh, that's why you went to the RNC. You want to just say it straight to their faces, to quote the Vice President of the United States of America. I mean, he spoke truth to power and they didn't like it. They were uncomfortable because they don't want to face the fact that unions are good and unions protect and unions have a better outcome for America.
Unions built the middle class.
Yeah.
But what about the millionaires that we could possibly be eventually never?
Right. We need to take care of them.
Yeah.
So in the unlikely eventuality we become like them,
mm-hmm.
we will be protected like them.
It's mm-hmm. like, living for an afterlife and not for the life you live now.
That was deep. Mm. That was real deep.
Mark, I've had a lot of coffee this morning.
Mark that, Kelvin. And then at one point, he complained about why we don't have any high-speed rail.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wait, which one? Elon or Trump?
Trump.
What?
Trump complained about that there wasn't any high-speed rail, and in May of 2019, headline reads, Trump administration cancels nearly $1 billion in California high-speed rail funding.
If he wants to talk about high-speed rail, tell him to come on our show. I'll explain to him the whole of day two of Scott Walker's governorship of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
So... oh my gosh, do we have enough time to play the Putin clip, or should we come back to it?
We'll come back with that.
Okay, because it is probably my favorite part of the entire discussion, because I put something a little special in there as well, a little reminder of past entertainment. So,
all right.
Oh,
excellent. This,
but if you look at all the, which is, if you look at all of the headlines from all the papers across the world, it's rambling, slurring,
incoherent,
technical problems. The people who are nicest to him, CNN, they referred to it as a friendly conversation.
And that it was.
It was a friendly, between two guys. One guy who said he's too old to run for president, and another guy who said the products you make are garbage. But now they're besties.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our friend and colleague here with us in the flesh. Fancy Brian Kelly is with us in the studio. Every Tuesday, we talk to one of our civic media colleagues, and we were really glad you were able to make some time for
us
today.
I'm happy to do so.
Love having you.
We like having you around.
We do.
You had some fun.
I try to be fun, you know.
You bring the joy, baby. Bring in some joy.
I figured, you know, being joyful and happy and fun is better than being arrogant and mean and hateful. I mean, I mean and hateful, but I try and do it in a fun way.
to balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about all of our conversations ever.
Yes.
It is primary voting day. Make sure you get out and cast your ballot. Very, very important. Two very important constitutional amendments on the ballot. I am going to vote no. Robin Voss would like you to vote yes, if that tells you anything. And I wanted to thank you, Matt, from Richland Center, who's listening on WRCE. Friendly heads up, it was Sean O'Brien at the RNC.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I goofed.
You goofed?
I goofed. Patrick in Green Bay texting in the 8th District. It would be so funny to see the Trump-endorsed candidate Tony Weed go down. So I voted for the least worst candidate, Andre Jacques.
The least worst.
I guess up there, Dr. Lyerly was on Pat's show yesterday morning saying that all of those guys in the Republican side of the congressional race, it's like, I'll finish Trump's wall. Trump endorsed. They're putting in the name, like, because, and I was wondering why, because Mike Gallagher voted against the impeachment of Mayorkas, made himself kind of persona non grata in the GOP, so they don't want anything to do with him that part of the seat. They want to be known as the Trump guy.
The Trumpiest guy.
The Trumpiest of Trump. Who's going to Trump a lump lots?
Not the best person or like, hey, I did something. Andre Jacques actually has, like, he has actually passed a bill. He's one of the last bills passed before COVID was sponsored by Andre Jacques, and it was to stop one single person from loving horses a little too much. Making it a felony and not a misdemeanor. There was a serial horse lover.
I remember that.
Yeah, there was a serial horse lover out in that area, and Andre Jacques, they couldn't figure out a way to stop him because he would pay the misdemeanor and go and do it again, and apparently in large public displays. So they made it a felony, and they went through. So our legislature, who didn't do anything really during COVID.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The last thing they passed right around before that was
that.
Hey, felony for horse loving.
That could be a whole nother segment.
Oh, I'm telling you, Andre Jacques actually got something done.
Wow.
And I believe it was bipartisan because it's not like you're going to vote against that and go, you know what? We need tolerance for this.
Well, that could lead off to anyway. Going back to Calvin.
It's a long story.
Calvin called it yesterday when he said that the Elon Trump chat last night on X.
You called it. That's the second time she's done that. I heard you.
Drink.
Elon and Trump had themselves a little chat yesterday on X. It was filled with technical errors. It started 40 minutes late, and they started a conspiracy theory within the chat that they were being cyber attacked.
Yeah.
No, sometimes tech just doesn't work. I'm going to let you all in a little secret. I'm going to pull the curtain back, everyone listening and watching. Before getting Brian on the show today and after his first segment, we were scrambling to get the cameras to work, and the computers were freezing. Do you know what we didn't do? Blame the deep state for it.
I was wondering for a second, are we getting hacked? Oh, my good. No, I didn't.
It never crossed your mind.
You know why? Because we had like 4 minutes to get it all fixed.
It's called, in what tech jargon, they call it a glitch. But I want to play the small clip of my favorite portion of that interview between Donald Trump and Elon Musk, where Donald Trump is talking about his relationship with Vladimir Putin and how much power he holds over the man. Calvin, can you play that?
And again, I said to Vladimir Putin, I said, don't do it. You can't do it, Vladimir. And I told him things that what I do. And he said, no way. And I said, way.
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation that has happened between Vladimir Putin and Trump. Hey, for all those who ever watched a movie in the 90s or know SNL history. Calvin, can you play what the reference was to that? I feel like it was.
No way.
Way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It sounded like Wayne's World. It sounded like
Which
Donald
Vladimir
Trump.
Is a big fan of Garth. Yeah.
Quiet.
Yes.
Smart.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. He's a huge public access fan. That's really what it is.
Big Wayne's World fan. Yeah. The other clip I really want to play is talking about global warming. Between Elon and Donald. Not a problem, you guys.
Oh,
nothing to worry about. And actually, there's a big plus side to global warming. Calvin, let's play that clip.
You know, the biggest threat is not global warming, where the ocean's going to rise one-eighth of an inch over the next 400 years. You'll have more oceanfront property, right? The biggest threat is not that. The biggest threat is nuclear warming.
There's a whole lot to unpack there.
You know, for nuclear warming to happen, something bigger has to happen first.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he said out loud, nobody knows more about the horror of nuclear than I do. What does that even mean?
Yeah, nuclear warming isn't what would happen in the event of nuclear holocaust. It would be nuclear cooling.
It would be a nuclear winter. That's
you know
what
how
I've
he knows
always
that?
Thought.
He reads books.
Oh, yeah. And let's just look at the 1/8 of an inch rise in sea level over 400 years. I looked, and since like 2006, at least on Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, the tidal surge now is 8 inches higher than it used to be.
Jane, are you telling me that former president and convicted felon, Donald Trump, made a word boo-boo?
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh,
and the other thing, Donald, boy, if I could just sit down across from him and point out, if you get more beachfront property because of the rising water levels, that means current beachfront property won't be there anymore.
Honestly, I think on this subject, this is the only time Ron Johnson has been logically correct. He said, why should I care about climate change? My state will probably get benefits from it.
That's right.
He said that, why would I care about the people in the equator when, but he forgets that everybody's going to have to move here because there won't be land to live in.
Or water to drink.
I
but
bet
anyway.
You he's a Christian.
Fancy Brian Kelly. You can catch him later with Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Oh, thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it, my friend. News is coming up next, and then when we return, we're going to learn about green burials in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Keep it here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.